This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. Well, we greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're studying about His Holy Spirit. And I want to put it just that way. He's called the Spirit of God, but in three different places in the New Testament, He's called either the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes with the express function, His ministry, His primary ministry among us is to bring glory to this Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen over the last week and a half or so that He does this, first of all, by bringing us to faith. He comes to convince the world concerning the gospel, concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, according to John 16. Somebody else has to preach the gospel. You may have heard it on this radio station or from a pulpit in any number of churches, or you may have read about it in a book, or you may have met some friend who shared with you his or her faith. But that person who shared the gospel with you didn't convince you. It may have felt like it, but if you have come to conviction about Christ, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And as He brings people to conviction about Christ, He's glorifying the Lord Jesus. But secondly, He then begins a work in the believer of reproducing the very character of Christ. And that's the first of two great dimensions of His ministry. It's all under the umbrella of glorifying Jesus. But the two great dimensions of the ministry of the Holy Spirit are, number one, to produce fruit in the life of the believer, the character of Jesus reproduced in the believer, and number two, to distribute gifts for ministry. And we'll be coming to that in the next few days. This morning we're continuing, though, on the subject of fruit. And I suggested to you that we do not have an exhaustive list of the character traits that are called fruit of the Spirit. We simply have a number of representative lists. It's as if the New Testament is saying, now here are some of the things that are manifested in the life of the believer when the Spirit of God is free to affect his character. We looked at Galatians 5, and it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith, all of which things we see in the Lord Jesus himself. I'm interested that it is very clearly fruit, not fruits in the plural. It's the fruit, singular, the fruit manifesting itself in a variety of character traits. Could I suggest to you this analogy? You may know that if you take bright white light, blinding bright white light, and you run it through a prism, what happens is it's broken down into component elements. And if it's bright enough light and it's a good enough prism, and if you know what you're doing, it's going, in fact, to produce a spectrum of lights. And interestingly enough, there are nine of them, running all the way from infrared at one end of the spectrum, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, and at the other end of the spectrum, ultraviolet. It's as if the Spirit of God, which is one Spirit, producing the character of Christ, one character, hits the prism of our lives, and you can break out the various character traits, but they're still all one fruit, one character. It's the character of Jesus. And it produces a spectrum of traits. Interestingly enough, nine traits in Galatians chapter 5, just as there are nine primary colors broken out of pure, bright, white light. When the light is in the prism and the prism is in the light, we see these various component elements. And when you are in the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God is in you, your life becomes like a prism for the character of Christ to be broken out and manifested. You follow what I'm saying? But, again, it's not that there are nine character traits, that's all there is, there ain't no more. That is not the case. These are simply some representative elements of the character of Jesus Christ. And so we turned over to Colossians chapter 3, and we saw a similar list, but it was not identical. It somewhat overlaps the list in Galatians 5, but there are elements in each list that are not recorded in the other. And so we could go on describing the character of Christ, which is the work of the Spirit, in other terms, forbearing one another, Colossians 3:13. Above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, verse 14 and 15. And be thankful. See, that somewhat overlaps, but it adds the characteristic of thankfulness, which Galatians 5 didn't even mention. And so what we're talking about is very simply this, the character of Jesus himself, reproduced in and through us. And it is the will of God that all of his character be produced in us, all the fruit for all the Christians. Now, I think I need to add this very important comment, that saying that should not lead us to comparing ourselves with other people. Say, oh, well, I see that that person over there has so much more of the fruit of the Spirit than I do, I must be nowhere. Or that person over there has so little of the fruit of the Spirit that I take great pride in my accomplishment. That's not God's purpose. And that certainly is not my purpose in talking about these things. The goal and the standard is nothing short of all of the fruit for all of the Christians. But the only one that we really ought to compare ourselves with is who we might have been were it not for Christ. I might possibly compare myself with the John Howe that I might have been were it not for the Lord Jesus making a difference in my life. I'm not even sure I should do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, I don't allow anybody to judge me, and I don't even judge myself. The only one whose opinion I'm interested in is that of Jesus. I rise or I fall before him. And I don't even presume to judge myself, because who am I to judge? The only one whose opinion I'm interested in is Jesus. So don't take this as a call to look around and see how well you're doing in comparison to somebody else. If you look back on who you used to be, maybe, you can begin to see over a period of time a little bit of progress. But really what we ought to be doing is focusing on Jesus. In fact, to come back to John 15, the imagery there of the vine and the branches I think is helpful. Because the imagery is that we are the branches attached to the parent vine. And if we're properly attached and we abide in the vine, the fruit is produced at the other end of the branch almost as a matter of course. Almost, not quite. There's a matter of pruning. It says, to everyone who does produce fruit, the husbandman, the vine dresser, my Father, will cut back, will prune, will cut into living tissue, which is sometimes very painful. But that's because he wants us to become more fruitful. And the end of the whole process is that we become very fruitful. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. So the emphasis is, abide in me. Don't worry about the other end of your branch. Abide in me, says Jesus, and my life, the life of my Spirit, will course through you and produce fruit at the other end of your branch almost as a matter of course. Well, I want to look a little bit more carefully at Colossians 3 this morning, because there's a very interesting pattern. And one thing that we ought not to be mistaken about is that this happens with our will fully engaged. Some people will take the kind of teaching that I've just been doing and go one step beyond it and suppose that they just need to be completely passive and God will do all the work by himself. Let me tell you, God never does it that way. God is looking for men and women whose discipleship means the engaging of their will on his side. Look at chapter 3 in Colossians. It's very interesting. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. All right, something has already happened to you. You have already been given new life. You have been raised with Christ in newness of life. But now you don't just settle back and let it all happen. You seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he spells out a whole list of things. Again, rather similar to the list in Galatians. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and so on. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now I want to just stop there for a minute. If you have been raised with Christ, verse 3 says, you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You have died. But verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly. Did you catch that? You have died, therefore, put to death. Look at verse 8. In contrast, put them all away, okay, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices, and have put on the new nature. You have already put off the old and put on the new. And drop down to verse 12, it says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, some of these very things that we've been looking at, these character traits of Jesus, these fruit of the Spirit. You have put off the old nature and you have put on the new, therefore put it on. You have died, therefore put to death. You have put on, therefore put on. Do you catch what I'm saying? This has already happened to you, but it needs to keep happening, and it needs to happen more and more fully. You have already come to new life in Christ, but you need to come fuller into that life. You have already had his character implanted in you by the Holy Spirit, but you need to go on putting that on. Your will is fully engaged. And so Jesus Christ calls us to an active discipleship. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and yet at the very same time, it is our obedience. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the character of Christ, and to allow the Spirit of God to manifest himself in and through us by reproducing the character of Jesus in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and that's the inside story.